they have to set up those things for their business. And to me, that shows that they care enough about their business, and therefore they're going to care about you because it is their business and they've invested into it.
Welcome to the Plan Your Central Florida Wedding Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Schmidt, editor of Greater Orlando's top wedding publication, Orange Blossom Bride. I'm sure when you said yes, you had no idea you were jumping on this roller coaster that is wedding planning. The goal of this podcast is to make the wedding planning process less stressful and more fun. We'll provide you with great tips and ideas, along with expert advice from some of the area's top wedding pros. So let's get started planning your Central Florida wedding. Weddings are unique in the fact that you will be hiring multiple vendors in order to make your wedding day come together. This can get a little overwhelming and you might not know where to start or what to look for. In this episode, we are going to be talking to Beth McIntyre of Your Favorite Day about how to find your perfect vendor team. After 14 plus years in the Orlando hospitality and event industry, Beth created Your Favorite Day, a wedding planning firm here in Orlando. This allowed her to follow her passion and create a flexible work life for herself and her growing family. A certified wedding planner through the Bridal Society, she empowers couples to plan their own wedding and recognize their unique vision. Your Favorite Day packages offer expert advice and tools along the way, plus professional assistance the day of to ensure you are able to fully enjoy your wedding day. So welcome, Beth.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So excited to have you because we're talking about something really important to make sure, you know, they have all this planning behind this wedding day and we want to make sure it runs smoothly and the vendors are a key to that.
Yes, they are. I'm so glad you said that because I like to think of the vendors and their services that they provide. They're really the pieces to the puzzle that come together to fit their vision. So if you have this grand vision, or maybe it's not so grand, but everyone has a vision, you really need professionals to fill in those pieces for you. And vendors are going to be finding the right vendors are key to doing that.
Very true. And so what is the first thing that you recommend they do in that process?
Right. So when couples get newly engaged, I feel like they go through this, we'll just call it pin crazy time, where I say pin, but it could be saving to collections or pinning or just overloading themselves with inspiration, which is actually not a bad first step. However, that's when it can get overwhelming and you have all these ideas. I encourage couples to do that at first, but then you really need to take a step back. And really the number one step is everyone's least favorite word, which is budget. But I'm going to add something onto that, which is really setting your budget priorities. You don't necessarily have to have that grand number, but you do need to know what things are going to be most important to you. And also, let me just add that budget is not a bad word. Everybody hates the word budget. Every wedding has a budget. Even a $100,000 wedding has a budget. It's $100,000, right? So it's not a bad word. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be spending any money, and it doesn't mean you're going to be spending too much money. It's just something that you need to be aware of because it can get out of control. You know, spending can get out of control. When you have such high emotions, you know, it's such an emotional, the decisions are emotional and the time is emotional. So I really think that setting the priorities is kind of your number one step after you get all of that, that fun inspiration. So that means if photography, you know, you've seen all these pictures of these, you know, beautiful pictures of couples, and that's what you want for your wedding day, put photography at the top of that list. Maybe you're a little different. Maybe it's that you can't wait to have everyone from both sides of your family all together in the same place. So maybe your priority is having fun things for them to do throughout the weekend, or maybe it's just that night you really want to give them a top-notch experience. So whatever it is, kind of you got to do like 1, 2, 3, 4 and see what it is that you're going to be prioritizing while you're looking for your vendors.
And That is so important. And that's really why when you see, you know, on national blogs and stuff, they'll have like the breakdown, like percentage wise. And that's not a blueprint. That's just to give you an idea of what the average is people spend, because people have different priorities for their wedding.
Right, exactly. So once you set those priorities, you can kind of say, okay, well, I see that some people spend this much money on photography, but look, we just want someone to just be there and capture the moment. We're not looking for a full-time, you know, photo shoot during our wedding day. So maybe that's where you can kind of put things in order and say, but we really want our guests to have great food and great drinks all night long. So yes, that is very important to us. So it breaks it down a little bit, so it's not so overwhelming. You don't feel like you have to spend the max amount in each category.
Now, moving on to the style of the vendor. Now, obviously, with photography, that's a little bit more obvious because you want to like their photo style. But it's truly across the board with all the vendors and liking their style as well.
Right. And that kind of goes into the next couple of steps when you're vetting them. But, you know, you're obviously going to do your research, probably, you know, mostly online, also in print, of course, because we're all going to look at Orange Blossom Bride. Right. So you're going to see vendors there. And like you said, photography is a big one. But and like you said, that's easy. So maybe you're looking for something light, you know, a photographer that has a light and airy feel versus dark and moody. Dark and moody is kind of coming around and that's very popular right now. So, you know, that is important. But just with everything, you're going to want to see what other things about their style matches your vision. So if it's not a photography, maybe it's a DJ company. You know, maybe it's a wedding planner, maybe it's a florist. But really looking at their branding, what sorts of couples that they're putting on their branding, you know, just seeing what that style looks like online and in print. And then also to go, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later, but you're going to probably social media stalk them. I mean, that would be your due diligence, right? When you're finding someone. So see what kind of a personality you see come through there. Maybe they are someone that shares a lot about, you know, behind the scenes and their personal life. And if you like that, maybe they're someone that's really, really polished and it's all professional and it's all, you know, very businesslike. And that's what you like too. It's okay. Like, just see, you got to really go with your gut on that one and see if you, who you're getting the good vibes from and who you're getting that good feeling from.
Especially, I mean, there's certain vendor categories like photographer and planner, you are going to be with them all day long. They're going to be part of your day. So that is extremely important to get those good vibes with them.
So for example, there's a photography company that I know, and on their Instagram feed, you won't find a lot of their professional photos that they take the day of, but what you will find is selfies that they take with their couples on the wedding day. So that kind of gives you an idea right there of what, you know, what kind of experience you're going to have on that day.
Yeah, very important. And that's so nice about social media. Like, you kind of get to get a view that you didn't get to have, you know, 10 years ago. You know, really vet your vendors before you even talk to them. So when it comes to, you know, the internet and everything now, it's so easy to kind of get that behind the scenes before you ever talk to them. And that also comes with checking their reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. So you do need to check reviews. It gets a little tricky out there. I can tell you from my personal experience that, you know, a lot of couples will go to the big websites for their reviews. And I would, you know, a lot of legitimate companies will have a good amount of reviews on there. However, I haven't, when I'm done with a wedding and I send a request for a review to a couple, I don't always send them to those big sites, because if they don't already have an account, they have to make an account just to write that review. And like, they're trying to enjoy their, you know, they're newly married, they're trying to enjoy their time together, and you're asking them to do these extra steps. So those are good places to check, obviously, like Wedding Wire, The Knot. But then also see where they might have a collection of other reviews. Is it their website? Is it on Facebook? There's a lot of review options on Facebook. Is it an Instagram story? Is it a highlight? Something along those lines. But wherever it is that you look, somewhere you should find some good reviews, and that will be key. So yeah, definitely check their reviews. And like you said, it is kind of, it's a blessing and a curse, because it's easy to get an Instagram account. It's easy to get a business Instagram account. It's easy to get a business Facebook account. So you do have to really look at those social sites and see what it is you're seeing. Some people or some vendors are putting their energy into the social media and neglecting to even have or sometimes update their website. For me personally, I think that isn't a good direction to go. I feel like you should always have that landing page. So I encourage couples to look at their actual website. Do they have an actual website? Making sure that they do. What types of things are on that website? Do you see that they're an incorporation? Are they an LLC? What is legitimizing their business on that website? Also, what's their email? What does their email look like? Is it a company type email? There are definitely some vendors that have been around a really long time that have the, @gmail.com. They don't want to change it because that's their business and that's what people are used to emailing. But for the most part, a lot of businesses should have that kind of professional business email. When that's what you should see.
Yeah, it is a little work on the front end, which is nice when you have a planner to help guide you through that process so it's not so overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are just things that I've learned to look out for, and you don't always see that right away. When you get engaged, you're going to have a flood of recommendations from a lot of friends and family, and sometimes it's, oh, you should get, my Aunt Sally to make your wedding cake. She did it. She did my nephew's wedding. It was beautiful. It tasted delicious, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. But does Aunt Sally have an actual business, or, is she making wedding cakes just kind of on the side? To me, I think there's a difference, and you want to, she may make amazing cakes and she may, make beautiful cakes, but working with a professional is going to be very important when it comes to putting all your vendors together and them working together and them putting in their pieces of your wedding day timeline. So that's where some couples can run into problems. Aunt Sally might make you a beautiful cake and it might taste delicious, but she may not have a way to get it to your venue, that's safe and that has that experience of what a professional that does this every weekend would have.
Well, and to continue on that point, with being insured, sometimes if Aunt Sally's not insured, then the venue won't even allow her to go there.
Right. And so that is something that couples don't necessarily think of when they're planning all their, they're planning their cake with Aunt Sally, they're doing all this stuff, and then they get to some of their final meetings with their venue. And their venue is going to say, all right, just have your photographer, your cake baker, your wedding planner, have them send over their proof of insurance, and we'll see you next week for your wedding, type of thing. And if they don't have it, that could definitely be an issue. A lot of venues are getting a little bit smarter about that these days. And there's a lot of venues that are independently owned and operated. Think about all the barn venues that we have in Central Florida. Those owners, they are doing their due diligence to protect themselves and also subsequently protect you. So having everybody be a legitimate business and have insurance is really important.
Just in case, insurance, people don't always think of insurance. And we've talked about this before on the podcast. They don't think of insurance for their wedding. They think of it for everything else, but their wedding needs to be insured, but their vendors need to be insured just in case something happens, because you don't want to be put in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, it shows that your vendors are invested in their business too. That means that they have to pay, they have to pay for the insurance. They have to, they have to set up those things for their business. And to me, that shows that they care enough about their business, and therefore they're going to care about you because it is their business and they've invested into it. And along those lines, when you're looking at their website, you should also see some sorts of indication of maybe an association that they're a part of within the wedding industry, some certifications, maybe some badges that they've received for getting a number of reviews during the year. So all of those things show that they are investing the amount of time in their business that you would want someone that you're paying your money for your wedding to. It also shows that they're in tune with the wedding industry in their area as well.
Which is really important because we are a community and we work together, and you want to know that they're used to working with other people. It may not necessarily be your exact vendor team, but that they are a team player come the day of.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to, you know, every wedding's a little different. Sometimes I'm assisting finding certain vendors for a couple. Sometimes they found them on their own. But what I'm always doing is doing these same things, checking to see what type of a business they are and if they are truly indeed a real business. And then, you know, it's fun to see who your couples find, and then you make new connections. And I love seeing that vendors that they found on their own have worked with vendors that I found them. And because it is a tight-knit industry, it's fun to have those connections. And then those vendors are, like you said, they're going to work better together because if they haven't worked together, at least they're all speaking the same language.
The last thing we're going to touch on is when it comes to communication with your vendors. And you had mentioned match communication. What exactly does that mean?
Sure. So while you're interviewing, let's say, your potential vendors, you should have a number of exchanges with them. So from that point, you should be able to get a good idea of who you're going to be able to work with best throughout your process. So potentially you're emailing a lot back and forth. And if you're a big email person and that works for you, that's great too. Maybe you're a phone call person, and maybe you've been asking this vendor to call you, and they're not calling you. They prefer to email or text. As long as you can reach some sort of agreement before you have an agreement with them as their business, that's fine. But like, for example, for me, I like to talk. I like to talk a lot. However, it's not always the right time to talk. So my phone call brides and grooms and couples, I tell them, call me, leave a message, or send me a text, and we will set up a time to call where you can have my full attention, and we will talk this out. I have no problem with that. So getting a feel for that and how you might be able to work best with your vendor, working the way that they work and also the way that you prefer to have communication is going to be key. Also, remember that wedding professionals work a lot on weekends. So if you are trying to get responses on Monday morning, that might be their only day off that week. So keep that in mind, and hopefully your vendors or your potential vendors will be forthcoming with that information with you. Say, hey, you know, Monday is I got a rest day. Tuesday is the day where I get on, I answer emails, we can set up a phone call, you know, whatever it is that you need. But you should be getting that from them. So they should be meeting you. You guys should be meeting in the middle, basically, to have a good process for communication moving forward. I will say this, if it's an issue during booking, it will be an issue during the planning process. So make sure that it's working well to book them. And then after you book, it should be smooth sailing. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And that is so true. Like, if you feel that there are warning flags, they're not probably going to go away. It's just going to compound with the stress of everything. So don't put yourself in that situation.
Right, exactly. Pay attention to those flags. And then also, let me give a little PSA too for all my vendors out there. If you are communicating with several vendors in one category and you do decide not to go with you know, you're choosing one out of three, let's say. Please, couples out there, have the courtesy to just say no thank you to the ones that you've been communicating and potentially working with, and also maybe already had a consultation with. We're not going to be offended. All of us aren't the right fit for everyone. We understand budgets. We understand priorities. We understand all of these aspects that go into booking. So if you can just do us the courtesy of saying, hey, we went in another direction, I promise you, all of us will wish you well and wish you on your way to happy wedding planning. Don't feel like it's awkward. Just let us know, because then we won't, you know, be wondering what's going on, or we won't be reaching out to you when you're already halfway done with your planning process.
Yeah, I think we could probably do a whole podcast episode on ghosting because it's an issue, because, you know, nobody wants to hurt somebody's feelings and say, oh, I don't want to go with you. But the fact of the matter is if a vendor's holding a date in hopes of hearing back from you, they could be losing out on potential other clients who would want their services. So it's a little bit more than, you know, just being, you know, rude.
Yeah, it's really important. And like I said, we're not going to be offended. It's not the right fit for everyone. And actually you can make their business better. If you have some friendly, nice, polite feedback on maybe why you went in another direction, especially if the vendor asks you, you know, you can tell them, if this is something that a vendor is hearing constantly, maybe they'll think about making some changes or just doing a checkup with other vendors in their same category to say, like, am I off base here? And, you know, maybe it's been a while since they've evaluated something and they really need to get more in line with everybody, you know, with everybody else in the industry. So it's not a bad thing. It's all positive, open communication and feedback and politeness.
The key.
Yes.
Very true. If couples were interested in, you know, getting in contact with you to see how you can make their day run more smoothly, how would they do so?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is www.yourfavoriteday.com, or also on Facebook and Instagram at this one's a little crazy because, you know, everybody takes the good tags. It's your YOUR. Fave, F-A-V, Day, D-A-Y, Florida, F-L. So that's a little wonky, but it's consistent for both platforms. So if you find me, and I also try to be good about putting my logo everywhere, and that's another thing you can look for with your vendors, is that if you're wondering, is this the same? Yeah, it's the same. You can tell right away. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're looking for, that's an important thing to have, is kind of that consistency. But yes, so there's an inquiry form on my website. You can reach out via Facebook or Instagram. I believe my phone number is on the website and it says call or text. I really mean that. Text me. I'm a big texter. We'll connect and we'll set up a time to meet and discuss either in person, or I like to do Skype consultations as well. So we'll get together and see where you're at and how we can lessen any of the stress that you're feeling thus far.
And Beth is such a sweetheart, so you will definitely love her.
Oh, thank you. I honestly love what I do, and I love being part of the Orange Blossom Bride community too. I mean, it's such a good way to regularly connect with vendors that are investing in themselves and their business and the industry. So,
oh, well, thank you. And we absolutely love having you. Oh, so thank you much for being part of this podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Like I said, I like to talk. So if you want to talk about anything else, let me know.
Absolutely. So you may be seeing a future episode with Beth.
Oh, all right.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Plan Your Central Florida Wedding Podcast. For more Orlando wedding inspiration and tips, head on over to orangeblossombride.com. And if you're looking for amazing wedding pros to help bring your wedding day together, make sure to check out our wedding vendor directory. Until next time, happy planning.